I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The economy's on everybody's mind, including bank failure, so some want to know, is it time to open a bank account inside your mattress? Our money coach is going to answer your questions in just a few minutes. But first, President Barack Obama went back on the campaign trail yesterday, this time to campaign for congressional approval of his $800 billion economic stimulus plan. His first stop was Elkhart, Indiana, where unemployment tops 15%. That's twice the national average. And last night, President Obama gave his first primetime press conference. He addressed issues ranging from foreign policy to steroid use in baseball, but mostly he talked about the economy. So we heard what was on the president's mind and on the reporters' minds, but we wanted to know what was on the voters' minds. So we called a handful of people across the country to find out what they're thinking about the economy and what's coming out of Washington. We're joined by Damon Smart, a native of Elkhart, Indiana. That's the town that hosted the president yesterday. Damon works at Elkhart Beauty Supply and designs T-shirts. Connie Guy is the mayor of Mountville, Pennsylvania. And Michelle Dugar is a small business owner and business professor in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to you all. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Damon, in last night's press conference, President Obama talked about the economy in no uncertain terms. Here's a clip of him responding to a question posed by the Associated Press.
We've lost now 3.6 million jobs, but what's perhaps even more disturbing is that almost half of that job loss has taken place over the last 3 months, which means that the problems are accelerating instead of getting better.
Damon, as you see it, is he calling it right?
You're calling it right. It's getting worse, alarming rate, and it's no explanation for nobody. I mean, everybody's kind of lost right now.
Go ahead. Well, give me an example. You still have your job, but I understand you're also working extra hard on a side business. But what about friends and family? Are folks losing their jobs?
A lot of people losing jobs right now, and a lot of people don't have anything to fall back on. I think it was like every day, go to work, come home thing. And when you take that away from people who just work hard just for their family and you know, without a check every day, I mean, every week when they get paid, it's going to be hard. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you do when you don't have a check coming in from week to week when you used to having a big check? You know, what do you do? I mean, where do you run to?
Michelle, you are both a teaching business and you run a small business, a small home-based business. Welcome back to the program, by the way. We talked to you last year at the beginning of the primary season. Is the president calling it right?
I think so. And I think from my standpoint, I don't know anyone personally who's lost their jobs, but I'm seeing a sense of fear. And working with young people, students who are preparing to graduate, what we're seeing is not so much job loss, from our perspective or personal experiences, but a lot of also job freezes in terms of hiring freezes. And so there's a sense of crisis where even if people still have their jobs, they're feeling it. They're feeling the anxiety of it, or it's coming across in other ways, say in health care and so on. So he's calling it.
And what about your business? I know you have a business where you sell baby gear, particularly geared toward multicultural families with the kind of, cute designs. Are you seeing any impact on your business?
I am. And I used to think my business was recession-proof because people tend to spend on children in special occasions. But I do see people scaling back a bit, and even in my efforts in marketing, I'm becoming more cautious. And so it's a cycle. If I'm not marketing as much, then I'm not putting myself out there as much. So it is starting to affect even what I thought was a recession-proof business.
And Connie, welcome back to the program to you also. You were on the program, thanks, during the hard-fought primaries. Tell me about the situation where you are.
Indeed. You know, the story of this crisis is affecting people all across this country. And it's astounding that Elkhart, Indiana has an over a 15% unemployment crisis there. This is going on everywhere. I live in a household in a town of 2,500 people where my husband has lost his job and he's 2 years short of retirement. I have a 19-year-old son that can't get an education right now. He cannot go back to college. There's no money. I have a young girl in my town that's a single mother raising twin daughters, and she's about to lose her home. This is affecting everybody. I think I understood President Obama last night quite clearly. I think he has strong ideas, and I think he has an excellent plan to help jumpstart this economy. We have lived through the last 8 years of some of the worst spending we have ever seen. I heard Republicans last night on, or conservatives last night, pundits commentating that all the Democrats want to do is spend money. We just want to spend, spend, spend. Well, you know, Obama was right. He inherited this debt. When George Bush took office 8 years ago, he had a surplus. We were doing well. And had he continued on that path, we would not be looking at the crisis that we're looking at right now.
And Connie, you are a Democrat, of course. I do want to mention that. But I remember when we talked to you last year, it was in the middle of a hard-fought primary between Senator Obama and then Senator Hillary Clinton, who, of course, has now joined the Obama administration as Secretary of State. But one of the concerns that you raised on behalf of yourself and some of your constituents was the fear that Obama was too young and untested for the difficult times many people anticipated. What are your folks saying now? Do they have confidence in his leadership? Do they think he's on the right track?
Yes, I do believe that. Even for myself, I was a strong Hillary supporter. And because of that, I think I closed an ear to what President Obama, at that time, Senator Obama, had to say. But once I began to listen, as the race was getting closer, and of course, the night that he gave his acceptance speech at the nomination convention, I can't tell you, the goosebumps were on goosebumps. I was so extremely impressed, and I was sorry that I had not paid closer attention to this man earlier on. He is brilliant. He's brilliant, and he was meant to be in the position he's in. And frankly, I think Senator Hillary Clinton is going to make an excellent, excellent Secretary of State.
So you feel feel optimistic about your leadership. That's a bright spot.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. Michelle,
I feel this collective, like almost a worldwide collective sigh of relief that we have someone as strong and as educated as he is leading this country. I think he's going to make things better. But people have to be patient.
Okay.
They have to be a little more patient.
Michelle, I just want to bring Michelle back in for a couple more minutes and then we'll come back to you. But Michelle, what about you? When we talked to you at the very beginning of the election season, just after the beginning of the year, South Carolina is one of the early primary states. You were one of the first people to get to vote. When we talked to you, you hadn't made up your mind of who you wanted. There was still a lot of excitement and anticipation and excitement about the election. What about now? How are you feeling about the leadership? Do they feel that the leadership is on the ball in addressing this crisis?
Well, I think this was very positive. Actually, for 2009, the phrase that comes to mind for me is be presidential, because what he embodies in the role of president is awesome. And I didn't, as Connie had mentioned, I didn't always pick up on that initially when we were just learning about him, but he evokes in the American people a sense of hope, even though we're in a crisis. And part of it is simple things in terms of he's believable. His candor during his addresses this past couple of days, he tells it like it is. So we feel a sense of trust. We feel a sense that this is someone who's committed to the cause. And as Connie's mentioned, who's intelligent, that he's putting himself out there for the people. So even though it's a crisis of situation, we feel that sense of trust. And he seems someone who goes after the impossible. So for me, since watching the campaign, since he's gone from Senator Obama to President Obama, I feel like this is somebody who inspires in me to do better, to dream bigger, to go after it all. And now that's what we need, that sense of hope in a hopeless situation. And he brings that about.
Damon, what about you? What did you, I don't know if you got a chance to see the president when he came to town, but what did you draw from? What are you thinking and feeling about your leadership right now, the president and the Congress?
Well, I think leadership is there. I mean, I commend him for stepping out there and doing the things that he do for the economy and everything and everybody, you know, because he's not working just for, as they would call, so-called, quote, the black people. He's trying to help everybody is in a bad situation right now. And he pushed independence. You know, that's what made me go out and try to do what I'm doing right now. You know, with no jobs, it's hard trying to, you know, trying to get in, you know, and there's nowhere to get in that, you know, it's all negative feedback when you're going out trying to look for jobs and you got families. It's hard to feed your family like that.
But do you feel that he's on the ball? And what about the Congress? To the degree that you follow these things, do you feel that the leadership of your country is on the ball trying to address these issues that concern you?
You know what? I just highly commend him for what he's doing. I really, you know, I don't get too deep into the Congress and all that. I just respect the man for what he's trying to do. And, you know, I know no one's perfect, you know, and he's trying to help everyone in the situation right now. And I just want him to do good. And I want to tell him, keep striving out, keep going hard, you know, keep doing what you do, because it's inspiring a lot of people. And he just don't know right now.
OK, Connie, we need to take a short break in just a second. But in the minute we have left in this segment, could you just talk about, you know, Pennsylvania has a mixed delegation, both Democrats and Republicans in the delegation. Do you feel that they're all working hard to address the country's problems?
I would certainly like to think they are. I'll tell you, you know, for many, many years, I thought one of the best things that a president could do was put aside partisan politics and bring in different ideas and different idea people. And I was so impressed that this president chose three Republicans to be in his cabinet. If that's not bipartisanship, you know, what is? You know, going back to the stimulus, do you remember last year when we got the stimulus or the stimulus package from George Bush? What was it he told this nation? Go out and buy big screen TVs. Let's pump some money into the, yeah, you know, consumer market. This president wants to pump that money into infrastructure. Give it to states so that they can build better bridges, better roads. You know, I have road work that needs to be done in my town.
I want to hear more about that when we take a short break. We need to take a short break right now, but we're going to continue our conversation with Connie Guy, Damon Smart, and Michelle Dugar in just a minute. And we return, we'll talk about making sense of the ins and outs of the stimulus plan. And what about that spending on infrastructure? This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Please stay with us. I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the actress Angelina Jolie has a big family. She's joked she wants enough kids to start a soccer team. But what about the mom who actually has enough kids to field a team with players to spare, 8 of them born at the same time? In our weekly visit with the moms, we're going to talk about the ethical dimensions and the practical realities of having such a large family. We'll have that conversation a little later. But first, we're going to continue our conversation with Damon Smart, a native of Elkhart, Indiana, which was visited by President Obama yesterday. We're also joined by Connie Guy, mayor of Mountville, Pennsylvania, and Michelle Dugar of Columbia, South Carolina. She's a small business owner and a business professor. And we're checking in with them as voters about how they're reacting to the debate over the stimulus plan in Washington. Connie, before we took our short break, we were talking about the stimulus plan. I just want to play a short clip from the president's press conference last night where he talked about the fact that everybody is not in agreement with his plan. Here it is.
Now, despite all of this, the plan's not perfect. No plan is. I can't tell you for sure that everything in this plan will work exactly as we hope, but I can tell you with complete confidence that a failure to act will only deepen this crisis, as well as the pain felt by millions of Americans.
Connie, now, one of the points of disagreement is, A, the cost, and the senators from both parties got together over the weekend to trim part of the cost. But some of it is just ideological. Some Republicans particularly are calling this pork. If you were to get some of the aid envisioned by this plan, what would you spend it on in your town?
I'll tell you what, for starters, I'd spend it on fixing up my house. You know, he was absolutely right on last night when he said, if we can jumpstart our towns, our boroughs, and whatnot across the country by infusing money into our infrastructure and, you know, roads, bridges, schools, hospitals, homes. Give these people their homes and their dreams, their American dreams back. We can go to a good energy process. If I had enough money right now to put siding, new windows, and new doors on my house, it would save me a bundle of money in oil cost. We spent more this year for heating oil than we've spent combined in 5 years. That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
What about for the town? Are there so-called shovel-ready projects ready to go? Are there infrastructure projects ready to go?
Absolutely. That you can't afford absolutely. To do? I've got an old school building that we are trying very hard to convert to a community center where we can bring all of our community, post office, police department, borough office, all into one place. We're having a hard time getting the funding to do that.
I hear you. Michelle, what about you? As a person who is a small business owner as well as a business professor, what about this whole argument over tax cuts versus direct government spending? As you know, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which is the main small business lobby in Washington, generally advocates the tax cut approach. What do you say about that?
Well, I appreciate the tax cut, but I didn't hear a lot about tax cuts for small businesses, and perhaps I missed it, but I was waiting to hear more about tax cuts for business or efforts to put infrastructure into manufacturing. Here in the South, we've lost a lot of jobs overseas. Small businesses are really important in this area, but a lot of those jobs that they provide, which in South Carolina and the surrounding states, small businesses provide half of all jobs. But a lot of those jobs are in service areas. And you may have recalled that, say, North Carolina was known for furniture manufacturing, and in the South with our mills, those are gone. So companies, I would like to see investment in infrastructure to help build up manufacturing, long-term jobs, beyond when the roads are fixed and the bridges are built, and training our workforce. Yes, we need technology with education and higher-paying jobs for higher-skilled workers, but we still have that group of people who are honest, hardworking individuals who are, if they'd be willing to work in a factory and skills to work in a factory, but the factories are gone.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. DeMond, what about you? Final thought from you. If you could talk to the president directly and tell him what would help you the most, what would it be?
I would tell the president to, like I said, I really don't have a lot of aspects for it. I don't have a lot of things for him to do. I just trust and believe that he's the right man for the job, and I hope that he's going to do something to help our city, because if something don't happen soon, because I live in Elkhart, if something don't happen soon, a lot of stuff is going to go bad at an alarming rate. And it's serious. That's not something that, you know, a lot of people not paying attention to, but the president. The president happens to see this all the way in Washington, D.C., but it's really going to be terrible if somebody don't take a look at this soon.
All right.
Period.
Well, DeMond, thank you so much for talking to us. We sure do appreciate you and your time.
Okay, thank you.
DeMond Smart is a native of Elkhart, Indiana. He works at Elkhart Beauty Supply, and he also custom designs T-shirts. He joined us from WSND in Notre Dame, Indiana. Connie Guy is the mayor of Mountville, Pennsylvania. She was kind enough to join us from WHP in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Michelle Dugar is a small business owner and a business professor. She lives in Columbia, South Carolina, and she joined us on the phone. Thank you so much for speaking to us, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And, of course, with Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. What was your reaction to the president's demand that the stimulus package be approved immediately? Do you think Congress is doing its part? You can call our comment line at 202-842-3522 and let us know what you think. Again, that's 202-842-3522. Please remember to tell us your name and how we can get in touch with you. You can also go to our website at npr.org and blog it out.